Football is back. Are you looking for a place to bet the NFL and NCAA? BetDSI is an industry leader in football betting and the perfect sportsbook for both novice and professional bettors. At BetDSI, you'll enjoy live in-game betting. Bet your favorite teams all game long, including props on nearly every play. BetDSI.com has 10,000-plus betting options daily, including a live casino and daily fantasy. Use your sports knowledge to make some extra cash this week. BetDSI has a user-friendly interface and mobile site, and the fastest payouts in the industry. Simply play, win, and get paid. Bet all major sports, as well as politics, reality TV, esports, virtually everything. New members get 100% bonus match using promo code TEX100. That's more than double your money to start winning today. Once again, go to BetDSI.com and use promo code TEX100 to get this limited time 100% bonus offer to make some extra cash. It's only a game until you bet it at BetDSI. DSI. Football is back. Are you looking for a place to bet the NFL and NCAA? BetDSI is an industry leader in football betting and the perfect sportsbook for both novice and professional bettors. At BetDSI, you'll enjoy live in-game betting. Bet your favorite teams all game long, including props on nearly every play. BetDSI.com has 10,000-plus betting options daily, including a live casino and daily fantasy. Use your sports knowledge to make some extra cash this week. BetDSI has a user-friendly interface and mobile site, and the fastest payouts in the industry. Simply play, win, and get paid. Bet all major sports, as well as politics, reality TV, esports, virtually everything. New members get 100% bonus match using promo code TEX100. That's more than double your money to start winning today. Once again, go to BetDSI.com and use promo code TEX100 to get this limited time 100% bonus offer to make some extra cash. It's only a game until you bet it at BetDSI. DSI.
Hey folks, it's Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, and today we're going to be talking about history. We're going to be talking about this day in 1777 was a turning point in history for what became the United States of America. We've been here before, we've battled these battles. We've dealt with traitors, and we have fought for our freedom. It's time for a history lesson. Get ready. Share this. We'll get started right after this.
Cut the crap. How many times a day do you want to say that to politicians? The elite, the loony liberals, the fake news media, and the gender-confused, emotional socialist snowflake crowd. Cut the crap. Is your secret weapon for fighting for our freedoms and our great republic. It all begins with a massive mental enema, freeing you from the toxic news and politically correct views, which constipate your consciousness with stinking thinking. Your host, Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, is known for calling out politicians and telling them to cut the crap. You've seen him on virtually every television network and listened to him on Coast to Coast Radio. And now, he's here to help you learn to fight for America. Culture, race, and American politics, they all have one thing in common. They all need to cut the crap. Now, here's your host, Jovan Hutton Pulitzer.
That's definitely what all of us want to tell every politician when they get on the news or they start talking, or in fact, when we watch the news. We want to tell them to cut the crap. Hey, folks, thanks for joining me. Jovan Hutton Pulitzer. Listen, you can listen to me at Spreaker Podcast. That's the player you can put on your phone so you get my program anytime I come on the air. You can find that at Spreaker, Spreaker.com/show/ Jovan Hutton Pulitzer. Remember, you can listen to me on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, CastBox, Deezer, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, and more. And of course, you can always join me in chat where people are right now. If we've got Bladenboro, North Carolina, we've got Florida in the house, Minnesota, Michigan, and it's chilly in Illinois. What I'm going to do today is we are going to have a historic look back at things we forget, and the things we forget is that we've been here before. We have. Remember, our country, the great United States of America, this incredible republic we have, had to be fought for hard. Many of you have relatives back in your history lines that were around and fought in these wars in the 1700s that made our nation spring to life and become the New Jerusalem that it is, that is now known as the United States of America. The country where people still to this day, regardless of what educators are telling your children and teaching them how to hate America, we're still the country that well over 180 other countries want to break into and come to. We came very close to not making it happen, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about one event that started in the summer of 1777, but on this day, October 17th in 1777, the tide changed and was, should we say, the deciding battle. What we're talking about is the Battle of Saratoga. It's known as the turning point in the Revolutionary War. It's where America defeated the superior British army, but more important, it lifted patriot. There's that word, patriot morale, and furthered the hope for independence and helped to secure the much needed foreign support to win the war. Even as we look in the media right now, I know we're all wondering, what in the hell happened to freedom? How did we undo 244 years and now everything's trying to go back to some sort of controlling or elite class controlling all of us, telling us what we can say, what we can do, where we can live, where we can go, what we can eat, everything. I was thinking about this the other night. It was weighing heavy on my mind, thinking about all the stuff we're doing with the audits and pushing for full forensic audits and what this battle really means to me. And I realized that, you know, if you robbed a man of his wallet, obviously, you'd be taking his money. If you broke into a man's home, obviously, you would take his possessions. Steal his car, and now you've restricted his movements, taken his transportation. All of those individual, serious, illegal criminal acts that happen every day across this country. But then it dawned on me, if you just steal a man's vote and you're able to control that vote, not only will you have also stolen his money, stolen his possessions, stolen his transportation, but you would have also stolen his hope, his dreams, and his future. And you would have done it with an illegal act, but all of those criminal acts doing the same things would be legal. Because the government would take your money, and the government would take your possessions, and the government can restrict your travel. One piece of paper changes it all. One piece of paper makes things that are normally crimes and makes them legal to take. And Terry Packer and Chat, you're right. His spirit. You get all of that. Rob a person, take his wallet, you've taken money. Break into his house, you've taken their possessions. Steal their car, you've taken their mobility. But if you steal their vote, you can take every bit of that, including their soul, their spirit, their goals, their freedoms, and their future, all supposedly legally. We've been here before. Many of you are tuning in states that fought this fight. North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Delaware, here we are. I mean, we're going to be talking about your states very shortly, and that's why I wanted to do this program, because sometimes we get disconnected from our history. See, that's part of the manipulation of your mind. If they can tear down statues, they can continue to convince weak minds that what they're doing now is legal, okay, righteous, and moral. But the fact of the matter is, if you understand your history, if you know history, then you know right now we are in a war and our freedoms are being taken away from us. And that's why I want to remind you that we've been here before. I want to give you a taste. Now, this story too, a name you've heard before is involved. Benedict Arnold, right? Benedict Arnold, you've heard that name. He was a Patriot officer who served the cause of the American Revolution until 1779. We're talking about 77 at the moment, when he shifted his allegiance to the British. Therefore, his name became an epithet for a traitor in the United States, a Benedict Arnold. And right now, you know, even amongst our ranks and supposed conservatives and patriots, we are riddled with Benedict Arnold. Bottom line, though, if you want to understand what made Benedict Arnold turn on his country, it was because he felt slighted. He was convinced he was slighted by the system. Does that sound familiar? Think about that. Education system is telling our young kids, our fellow Americans, that they've been slighted, especially if you happen to have a little more melanin, a little more pigments in your skin. They say because you have a little more color to your skin than somebody else, you're slighted. And they keep on telling you that's on purpose. Well, they do that for a reason. See, Benedict Arnold anchored in your memory as a traitor. The whole basis of him becoming a traitor was because in the Congress of February 1777, five new major generalships were created. It was going to meant five brand new generals. Arnold was passed over. He didn't get a generalship. He was passed over in favor of his juniors who were better qualified, but Arnold resented this. And he was convinced that George Washington had a personal vendetta against him, and his personal persuasion, right, kept him from getting that generalship. So since he felt his honor, his being, his right, that he was had his social justice offended, and his honor impugned, he decided to turn on his country. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We have many great people out there that have been convinced that this country is racist, bigoted, homophobic, and all this other stuff. In fact, I find it ironic, the only ones who really care who you have sex with are the persons that want to flaunt their who they have sex with in your face and say, we need rights. You know what? Nobody really cares. But all of a sudden, the left took these little bitty hyphenated points, held them up, told you everybody feels this way and they're discriminating against you, which isn't, and turned it into a mantra, a program to turn literally millions of people in the United States, almost all academia, into Benedict Arnolds that would rather see their country disintegrate than excel. It reads like a Broadway play, if you think about it. And what I find ironic is the British general who was involved, John Burgoyne, was also a playwright. And so this is the day that that British general surrendered his 5,000 British and Hessian troops. Hessian, just so you understand, were German people who were fighting on the side of the British. It happened this day in history in 1777, and it was a battle with American General Horatio Gates at Saratoga, New York. When I come back, we're going to get into it, and I'm going to tell you the history, not only as it happened, but what we need to take from history into this battle we're fighting today. Be right back.
See, I told you learning how to tell the world to cut the crap would make you feel great. There's more to come. Jovan will be right back.
The morning after the 3 November 2020 presidential election, Americans woke up to the stark reality that our great nation was under a new type of attack. This attack didn't come with mortars or bullets, but was an assault on our sacred election process. Since then, Americans everywhere have had to ask themselves if they really believe that our election was true and fair. We are in a time of large-scale government corruption, and many have lost faith in our institutions. That's why we formed the America Project for you and for the nation. The America Project was formed by a group of fellow patriots who are building the most pro-freedom and pro-American network ever known. The America Project will connect you with organizations, churches, small businesses, and individuals to help you win for America. The America Project is about actions and results. Join our team today. God bless you and God bless America.
I guarantee you, you will absolutely be the smartest patriot in the room. It's absolutely a government triangulation. They are literally putting Mike Lindell in the crosshairs to be the one to take the fall for this information. If you don't know this information, how can you change what's going on?
Exactly what they're going to do. They're going to do everything they can to ban
this. It's 100% about making sure you don't get the truthful information. If you don't know this information, how can you change what's going on? Folks, I have one job, and my job is for you, and that is to make you the smartest patriot in the room. there were 242 operatives just in Georgia alone. And what they did is they loaded every one of these drop boxes. Here's where they got the ballot. You've lost family. You've lost friends over all of this because they said you're a conspiracy theorist. Now you have the facts and the information to educate them and to open their eyes to what's really happening.
What kind of government cares more about appeasing Islamic terrorists than defending the constitutional rights of its citizens? A government that would disarm us during the age of terror. Nothing would make us more vulnerable to generations of suffering and slaughter than the destruction of our Second Amendment. But many of our politicians, aided by a relentless media, are launching that attack themselves. They dream of joining the rest of the disarmed peoples of the world, entrusting our survival to the mercy of monsters. The greatest damage the terrorists could ever inflict upon us is disarmament at the hands of the political elites. But we will never offer our right to survive as a fool's ransom to the world's killers. Our freedom is what they fear most. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
We're back. Now let's continue to fight back and take back our country by learning how to tell the politically correct to cut the crap. Here's Jovan.
So on this day in 1777, our ancestors, our great American ancestors, whether your family was already here or not, they got here as soon as they could from other countries because they knew that this incredible republic of the United States of America, what it would become, was the land of opportunity, the new Jerusalem. Everybody wanted to get here. That's what we're talking about. And imagine, back then, 244 years ago, what were they doing? They were telling their rulers, their elites, their noble class to cut the crap. Now, at the center of this battle, we're talking about the battles of Saratoga, but what you need to understand, there were several battles of Saratoga. But at this particular one, we're going to dive in today, the American on one side was Horatio Gates, and then the British side was John Burgoyne. And there were approximately 22,000 soldiers between the two sides. There were 15,000 American Revolutionary soldiers. There were 6,000 British. The Americans were a ragtag army of farmers and not well equipped, but the indomitable American spirit that we want to be free, and the British were well equipped, professionally trained fighting men. These battles generated about 1,465 casualties. There were 330 on the American side and 1,135 on the British side. So let me give you a little context so you understand what's going on here. The British had a strategy that called for a three-pronged attack on New York. And it was three separate armies, not one, but three. And they were all converging near Albany, New York. And so this British general, John Burgoyne, was moving south from Canada, and he's coming with approximately 1,700 men en route down the Hudson River Valley. That became the critical route for route that they were coming in for the invasion. Now, Burgoyne had already captured Fort Ticonderoga, where he defeated fleeing American troops in Vermont. And then he occupied Fort Edward on the edge of the river, there in the edge of the Hudson River. Now, these multiple battles kind of had this ebb and go back and forth, but it was coming down to the point that if it did not, the tide did not turn, that what we now know as America would never happen. And it all came down to this particular day in history, and that's with the surrender of this very well-accomplished general. You see, Americans had an invasion, which was now basically what you would call Canada. That had left lasted from 1775 to 1776, right up there on the edge. Don't think Canada is a whole country, but it was Canadian, what is now Canadian territory. And what had happened is the British had already built up there. This is the St. Lawrence River and the St. Lawrence entryway into the States. You know, that enters into the Great State, the Great Lakes. Now, all of these troops were now being moved for an attack on Albany, New York. And so this general, John Burgoyne, was coming down from Canada. He's coming down through Lake Champlain and Lake George, and that's where they were going to meet at Albany for a smaller force that was under a colonel by the name of Barry St. Ledger. They were coming through the Oswego, meaning the Mohawk Valley. And this was going to serve as the third prong of Sir William Howe's complex offensive campaign. They're basically going to do a pinching move, and they are going to force an end to this battle, an end to this American demand for independence, right? In what was called the Patriot hotbed at the time, New England. Now, you know why the New England Patriots are, in fact, the New England Patriots. This is where everything is being pushed in a move, a military move. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to cut off New England, which was the Patriot hotbed, from the rest of the mid-Atlantic colonies. Okay? So what they're doing is they're taking where our new nation had really taken hold, the heart of the Patriot lands. Hillary would have called it flyover land at that time, right? And they're trying to cut them off from the rest of these damn places that wanted their freedom. They're not going to let any more of these colonies, because that's what they were. They were not going to let any more of these colonies get infected by freedom, right? No way. No way were they going to do this. And so this march, where they're marching down, right, to try to break the Patriot spirit. This Burgoyne, he actually, you know, they built 40 bridges. They stayed over in Fort Edward. The German detachment was sent to Bennington, Vermont. Now, I want to point something out here that's just very ironic to me. The very place where everything was decided that gave us our fantastic country, our incredible republic, all happened up in the Northeast states. Now, people think about that. Bennington, Vermont. What do you have from Vermont today? Socialist Bernie Sanders. Think about that. If you don't understand how the left infiltrates these hotbeds and starts to take over in the name of education, where this country erupted onto the scene and became what it was destined to become, is now a hotbed of liberalism. That's how it's done. It's instead of the wars like they did back then, it's a slow, corroding, and it makes you loathe and hate your own country. I just find it ironic as I share with you this history. How those far northern states and New England states, the Vermonts and the stuff, literally are hotbeds now for the very people that hate in many ways what the United States of America stands for. Right? And so there was a little bit of mystery going on of where was this a big attack? Where was this showdown going to go down? See, we had information on our side. And so what happened is in August, the German detachment had annihilated under General John Stark and Colonel Sutherwether, Boygon became uneasy. See, he had left 1,000 men to garrison, meaning to stay back in Ticonderoga and St. Ledger. And so they're trying to kind of build up their forces. But Howe, on our side, had notified Burgoyne of his intention to abandon the New York campaign entirely, and they were going to invade Pennsylvania. But this fellow Burgoyne considered himself bound by his orders to press on to Albany. So he collected 30 days' rations, and he started heading down the Hudson on September 13th, camped near Saratoga, New York. Now, one of our most trusted, should we say, generals, military men at the time, Horatio Gates, he was like, should we say, one of the lead officers in the colonial ranks. He was only camped about 4 miles away, and he had 12,000 men. And Gates, unlike Burgoyne, was receiving daily reinforcements. So the first battle was called the Battle of Freeman's Farm. Isn't it interesting that the anchor in that is freed men, black men, freed men? But yet they'll tell you that was all Civil War stuff, but not true. But anyway, and so in this battle, this particular one, we happened to perform exceptionally well because we were able to pick off a tremendous amount of the British officers in these open fields by a fellow by the name of Colonel Daniel Morgan's sharpshooters. They were just concealed in the woods. And when the British came out, literally our guys started picking them off. So now the Germans came in and started to fortify the British, and they really hit hard. However, our Continentals, we stood fast. The fighting lasted for hours throughout the day, and at dusk time, everybody withdrew. And despite losing the field, we had only suffered 90 killed and 240 wounded compared to the 440 killed and the nearly 700 wounded that we inflicted upon the British. Always laugh at this one because I always misstated, but on September 21st, Burgoyne received notice from Sir Henry Clinton. I think that's funny. Sir Hillary Clinton, who had been left in command of the British forces of New York, is an ironic name twist of history. And Clinton was about to launch an attack up the Hudson Valley. How long have the Clintons been attacking us Patriots? I wonder. Anyway, and so he headed up with a force of about 4,000 men, and Clinton quickly captured two forts on the west bank of the Hudson. But see, he never had really any intention of pressing on to Albany. Burgoyne was now waiting for reinforcements from Clinton. Those reinforcements didn't come. And what happened is Gates was able to strengthen his position. See, he took the high ground. If you were to look at the battles of Saratoga and you look at the river and you're looking down on the Hudson River, there is a decided high ground. And this is where it comes from in military strategy to say, take the high ground, right? And he was able to take the high ground and set up there. And so that triggered or set up what's now called the Second Battle of Saratoga. Now, Burgoyne's army had now dwindled to only about 5,000 combat-ready troops. And at this point, he only had about 2 weeks of supplies left. So on October 7th, he decided he could no longer wait, and so he decided to launch an attack without reinforcements. Now, this particular engagement is called the Battle of Bemis Heights, and that's B-E-M-I-S if you want to look it up, Bemis Heights, also known as the Second Battle of Freeman's Farm or the Second Battle of Saratoga. So Boygon sent recon out first. He did it in waves, 1,500 troops in three columns, while leaving a main body of his troops closer to the heights. One general on the British side, Simon Fraser, he was tasked with probing the American left to kind of see what was out there of the Continental Infantry, including Morgan's riflemen. Remember, Morgan's riflemen picked them off one by one. Once again, though, our Patriots opened fire on the British, caught them in the open, fatally wounding Fraser as he attempted to cover the British withdrawal. And so we had this advantage, and just as the American attack began to falter, get ready, Brigadier General Benedict Arnold appeared on horseback with a fresh brigade behind him. Benedict Arnold drove the British troops back to Freeman's Farms. The Germans were trying very hard to resist the American assaults, but they too were finally overwhelmed. And then General Burgoyne began to retreat, and Gates now had 20,000 men that surrounded him at Saratoga. So all around him, he's surrounded. And what happened is Burgoyne surrendered his troops in what's called the Convention of Saratoga. Now, what it did is it provided for the return of his men to Britain on the condition they would not serve again in North America during the war. When we come back, we're going to talk about the aftermath, the outcome, what should we have learned, what we've forgotten, and how do we go forward now. I'll be right back right after this.
Are you following Jovan on all social media? You think this program is good at empowering you? You should get your PhD in cutting the crap by following Jovan Daily on all social media. Just find him by typing hashtag Jovan Hutton Pulitzer. Hang tight, Jovan will be right back.
Those in the know like to stay in the realm of innovation. Join them. It's easy to keep up with the latest trends and own the latest tech with BMW Select, as it offers you the option to drive a brand new BMW every 3 years. You also get to tailor your deal to suit your pocket and your lifestyle. Visit select.bmw.co.za for more. BMW Select, dynamic finance for ultimate control. BMW Financial Services is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.
Here's a message to every rapist, domestic abuser, violent criminal thug, and every other monster who preys upon women. Maybe you've heard the stories about millions of us flocking to gun stores and gun ranges for the first time, the second time, and the 100th time. Here's what that means for despicable cowards like you. Your life expectancy just got shorter. Because there's a very good chance your next target will be armed, trained, and ready to exercise her right to choose her life over yours. This is what real empowerment looks like. Millions of American moms, grandmothers, and professional women taking our lives and our families' lives into our own capable hands. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
Over 18.5 million plays, it's Jovan Hutton Pulitzer.
Folks, I have one job, and my job is for you, and that is to make you the smartest patriot in the room.
At jovanhuttonpulitzer.locals.com, you will receive the truth that the left does not want you to hear. You will not be banned. You will not be regulated. You will only hear what you need to hear. If you consider yourself to be a true patriot, it would be a crime not to visit jovanhuttonpulitzer.locals.com today.
They use their media to assassinate real news. They use their schools to teach children that their president is another Hitler. They use their movie stars and singers and comedy shows and award shows to repeat their narrative over and over again. And then they use their ex-president to endorse the resistance.
all to make them march, make them protest, make them scream racism and sexism and xenophobia and homophobia, to smash windows, burn cars, shut down interstates and airports, bully and terrorize the law-abiding, until the only option left is for the police to do their jobs and stop the madness. And when that happens, they'll use it as an excuse for their outrage. The only way we stop this, the only way we save our country and our freedom, is to fight this violence of lies with the clenched fist of truth. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
No, you didn't vote. You thought you voted. All you did was mark a piece of paper with what you wanted to vote, but your vote didn't count then.
If you don't know this information, how can you change what's going on?
Jovan Hutton Pulitzer is unnerving the left daily as he tells you exactly what you need to hear.
You've lost family. You've lost friends over all of this because they said you're a conspiracy theorist.
Just go to jovanhuttonpulitzer.locals.com right now to hear the truth.
If you were asked by someone to explain, how did the computers rig votes? How did the numbers change? Most people would never be able to, much less explain it, or even understand it. Your eyes just glaze over.
If you consider yourself to be a true patriot, it would be a crime not to visit jovanhuttonpulitzer.locals.com today.
I guarantee you, you will absolutely be the smartest patriot in the room.
Did you know that Jovan is the only private citizen which has a full webpage dedicated to him on the Secretary of Georgia's government website? Why? Because politicians are deathly afraid of Jovan, his reach, his fans, and his calling them out publicly and telling them to cut the crap. They know Jovan empowers the people, and corrupt politicians do not want the people knowing the truth. Now, let's get back to it.
So the American Patriot Continental Army basically surrounded and captured Burgoyne. Now, he negotiated for his soldiers, as any general should. He successfully negotiated that his surviving men would be returned to Britain. And the way he got this is he pledged that they would never serve again in North America. Now, what we did is we kept about 6,000 of his men, and we kept them in captivity, locked up, as he went back home. And by the way, that was a significant expense. You know, towns were maybe 100 people, and that was a big town, 200 people, right? But this 6,000-man army was kept at great expense by the Continental Congress until the end of the war. That's just how it had to be done. Now, what happened here, this is where the other events helped America to quickly catapult now onto the international scene. This was the first time that something like this had really happened, breaking away from the old world to start a brand new country. Exciting at the time for those who in other countries had been oppressed forever. So what happened, as soon as the Patriots had the victory at Saratoga, as soon as that word reached France, and King Louis XVI, he agreed, he was the first one, to agree to recognize the independence of the United States. So the first country to say, this thing called United States of America, it stands on its own, it's a country just like any of us. And that was King Louis XVI and the French Foreign Minister Charles Gravier, Count de Vergnes. Now, they made arrangements to give help. And the arrangements they made was by that great patriot who was living in France at the time, the U.S. ambassador, Benjamin Franklin. And so what they did was Benjamin Franklin secured formal French aid to the patriot cause, funds, money to keep this thing going. Because America's had to keep up the resistance. They had to keep it up, or their fight for freedom would just vaporize. You don't just win one day and it's over. It doesn't work like that. You got to stay at it. You got to fight for it. Just like we've been fighting for our freedom for over 244 years since this event. But it was that assistance that was the critical assistance to create the American victory, which created our incredible country. Now, after the British humiliation at Saratoga, our general, Horatio Gates, he earned widespread public support, and he actually ran a brief but clandestine campaign to replace George Washington as commander-in-chief of the Continental Army. It seems like it goes on all the time, right? Somebody does something great and fighting for their country and fighting for, right, doing, building this great country. And here's this very patriot decides, well, I've done a lot. To hell with George Washington. He just kind of sat back as the commander-in-chief. I want to replace him. So he actually started a clandestine campaign to replace George Washington, who would become, of course, our first president. They offered him to be our ruler, which he turned down. But think about that. What would have happened if even Horatio Gates would have come in? Would we have been in the same place? That just shows you that political intrigue always goes on. Was going on then, it's going on now. People jockeying for position. Well, back then that plot failed and Washington maintained his post. General Burgoyne marches his defeated army back north when it's all over, takes him back north, gets him back to England. He was really criticized for his actions at Saratoga, and the British gave him no more future commands, which is probably what should have happened if your big general lost. But impressed by the Patriots' resistance to Britain, France now, instead of just providing money, they literally signed a formal treaty of alliance with the Americans. And that's what tips the war in our favor. Then the Spanish and the Dutch later would provide support to Americans as well. Because what the Spanish and Dutch wanted, even the French, they wanted to weaken British domination in Europe. Now, here's what I want to point out. You sit here today and you think about France. And France being the socialist country that it really is, people having vaccine passports and everything else. They're marching in the streets. They're told what to do. In France, it's so far left that once you get a job in France, most people don't know this, but once you get a job in France, let's say you get a job at a retail store, clothing store on the Champs-Élysées in France, that's the big arch in Paris, the big retail street. France is so far left that when you get hired in France, once you're an employee for life. They can never fire you. Never. Therefore, you can do anything because you can't get fired. It's kind of like a postal job, right? Here we're hearing about the Spanish, the Dutch, Germany, everybody else working also with America. Think of their countries today. The country that helped birth, that became the shining example of how to live free and how to prosper and how to create and how to engage your citizens and how to give people their religious and freedom rights and let them go, let them have land. You want to settle it, it's yours, let's go, let's do it. They joined us because they hated England. See, England was the dominant player. So their end game was to deliver the big FU to Britain, to England. So France delivers the FU to Britain, the Spanish the same way, remember? The Dutch, by the way, they were all slave traders, by the way. They were. And they're delivering the big screw you to Britain. So what happened when we rose up and our country and our dream and our way of life and freedom on all areas took off, their cards they played did in fact help weaken the British domination of Europe because it was all controlled by the British. But another interesting thing happened. If you look back in time, those countries, France, Britain, Spain, and others, they stayed under the control of the elite and the ruling class. See, they helped because they wanted to kick the British's ass. But when it came to their own people, they still weren't doing great things for their own people. And the only difference, Britain, France, all this other stuff, what, we've only had one? We've only had maybe Scotland, you know, the William Wallace and all that stuff, Scotland and Ireland stand up to Britain to get their own countries. All these other ones stayed under control. And over these 244 years, where they helped our experiment work, they only progressively became more pissed off. Because, wow, look what America did. Everybody wants to go to America. Everybody wants to be like Americans. Everybody wants their freedom. Everybody wants to succeed. And here we are, a country that thrived. Our innovation, our scientists outside of Germany, but the German scientists came here. Our patent system, another Benjamin Franklin item, our mail system. We innovated it all. Our innovation was here. When we were freed from strangulation and rules, we innovated and we created rail systems. Our mail system was very important for populating and expanding our country. The post office played an incredible role in that. True banking systems, not like the European systems, and we thrived. But what happened? University systems took hold. They resented what they had built here. But they start building institutions here, and over these 244 years, these educational institutions have taken that bitterness and sold it back to decades and decades and decades of students and graduates that America's the bad one. See, America changed everything in the world. It is what ultimately toppled the world dominating force with the crown in England. Remember, even back then, they were still invading countries and they had, you know, Myanmar and India and all kinds of stuff were still under British rule and slave labor. But yet, all of those countries now look down on us. That's the Benedict Arnold moment, because there isn't any justification in it. There's only a bunch of bullshit butthurt that we succeeded. And that is what a lot of this is about. The education system got infiltrated by weak people that took our youngest and most malleable minds and convinced them our country was evil. When it's our country that helps the rest of the world. It is our country and our economy that provides billions and billions and billions to all these other countries so they stay solvent. And most of them hate us. And now we've allowed this elite stinking thinking to creep into our lives, to get into our institutions, and they undid the minds. They undid the minds of the American spirit. You know, it's known that one of the most easiest ways to turn a corporate executive into a shill or even a spy to help undo America is just to promise them that their children will get all expenses paid, free ride to like Harvard or Yale. Did you know that? A lot of people think it's about sex and money. Part of the reason our big academic institutions get so much money is because those institutions then go out and use that to tap in certain people. I'll give you an inside thing. I literally, as you know, come from nothing. However, when out of nowhere I took an idea and built a billion-dollar company, the first thing that happened for me is I got an invitation to attend Harvard. You ever wonder why you see so many tech guys, Harvard or Stanford or Yale or whatever the case may be? It is not because they came up through the normal ranks of getting into a Harvard. It's because the system watches. And then as people begin to succeed and excel, they go out and they bribe you with, come be a Harvard boy. Now, it's really interesting because at my time, my daughter at the time, precious daughter, 18, 19 years old, had been accepted to every institution she applied to. She was really going to come down to New York University, I think it was where she was leaning, to go to NYU. Now, and I'll confess this, I placed tremendous value on a Harvard education. And I'm just like Elon Musk, you don't have to have a Harvard PhD when I can hire him. I had 20 people in my organization all graduated Harvard. And so it's really interesting. I had an opportunity to go to Harvard. And I raised my daughter with the expectation that she was like Xena, Wonder Woman, Warrior Princess, could do anything, and I wanted her to go to Harvard. She'd tell you this if you talk to her. Harvard, Harvard, Harvard. Well, at the time she gets accepted, damn, I get there too. And I remember telling my daughter, oh, how awesome is it? We'd be going to Harvard at the same time. No, my daughter wasn't having any of that shit. She set me straight real quick and said, Dad, your dream's Harvard, and it's not my dream, and I'm certainly not going to the university at the same time as you. She had already been to Cambridge and says, I'm not doing that with you. That's your ideal cool. That's not my ideal cool. She ultimately went to USC. But I sent USC an incredible, powerful, independent, super strong woman who knew she could do anything she could put her mind to, could do anything that a man can do. What I got back? Was the greatest failure of my life, not in my daughter, but I got back an extreme liberal. A total cancellation of everything that I raised her to be and that she was inherently. Gifted, talented, creative, driven. And I got back this soft, squishy, frightened, capitalist pig, Dad, you're a capitalist pig kind of thing. It changed my whole life. It changed my precious daughter. And that's what the system sent back to me. Because what the system did was erase it. Now, what I'm giving you is an insight here to how this happens. Because, see, France hated Britain, so they helped us. The Spanish hated Britain, so they helped us. The Dutch hated Britain, so they helped us. And we became the shining city on the hill of freedom, of what really happens when you just leave people be. And we thrived. And we created, in less than 100 years later, an incredible nation that took other nations many, many, many more times fold over to get their footing. And we did it fast because we were free. We created wealth fast, opportunity fast. We welcomed people for their innovations and ideas. And what happened in that process? Those countries convinced their people that they're better under their rule than being free. And all of those countries, Britain, France, Spain, Germany, you name them all, they all stayed under, well, nope, you're better governed than being free. And look at where we are today. They are part of the very thing. They depend on our money. They want our money. They say they're our allies. But they completely don't want their people to have the same freedoms as America. And what do you see right now? You know, we went back into France during the Great Wars, liberated France, rebuilt them, and are still there. We're still France's army today. Did you know that? To this day, the United States of America is the French Army Protective Force. We have 57,000 Americans buried at Normandy. But France today poo-poos on Americans, thinks we're disgustful, and have bought into this elitist thing because they didn't stand up for themselves, and every one of them have turned into hating us. Because they convinced their people that only certain types of politicians, only certain ways of doing it can make everything will work, and this planet and everything will go away if you're just kind of left to your own stuff. And they started taking over. They started taking us over. And in this takeover, what you're seeing is nothing more than weak minds who feel slighted, think they know better than us, trying to make sure our experiment shuts down and we live in the same miserable way they live. I was watching this morning in Australia. In Western Australia, they just outlawed belonging to a motorcycle club. But what they also did is if you wear a motorcycle patch logo, if you get caught in public wearing one of those, you go to prison for 1 year. Ready for this? If you get caught with tattoos that are now visible, that are not quote unquote approved, it's all symbology, you go to jail for 5 years. 5 years. This is how oppression looks now. All of these weak people, they say, that, you know, if you can't do, just teach. Teachers are the greatest thing on the planet. When you have good teachers, teachers have been the number one destructive force and their unions on the planet for undoing this American experiment. Because so many people are in the system that can't do, they resent the ones who can do, and they want to take it away from everybody else. This is why it's so volatile at the moment. So when I come back, we're going to talk about, okay, we've seen this, we've been here before, history's in it, we understand how these payoffs work, and we're getting basically global resentment because nobody likes the great succeeder. They don't want to look at their lives and go, wow, which they do. I wish I was American, which they all do. I wish I was American. I lived in America. I wish I could go create a big technology company. They don't want that for anyone. And how they keep anyone from getting it is by convincing you America is disgusting. My final words of how we dig ourselves out of this and what can we do and what you should be doing right after this.
The last segment of the program is coming up next. And if you haven't shared Cut the Crap with your friends in social media, now is the time to do it. Just think how much more power we all would have in saving our great country if everyone knew the truth about what really goes on behind their backs and learned how to tell the system to cut the crap. We'll be right back after this.
Here's a message to every rapist, domestic abuser, violent criminal thug, and every other monster who preys upon women. Maybe you've heard the stories about millions of us flocking to gun stores and gun ranges for the first time, the second time, and the 100th time. Here's what that means for despicable cowards like you. Your life expectancy just got shorter. Because there's a very good chance your next target will be armed, trained, and ready to exercise her right to choose her life over yours. This is what real empowerment looks like. Millions of American moms, grandmothers, and professional women taking our lives and our families' lives into our own capable hands. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
Over 18.5 million plays, it's Jovan Hutton Pulitzer.
Folks, I have one job, and my job is for you, and that is to make you the smartest patriot in the room.
At jovanhuttonpulitzer.locals.com, you will receive the truth that the left does not want you to hear. You will not be banned. You will not be regulated. You will only hear what you need to hear. If you consider yourself to be a true patriot, it would be a crime not to visit jovanhuttonpulitzer.locals.com today.
They use their media to assassinate real news. They use their schools to teach children that their president is another Hitler. They use their movie stars and singers and comedy shows and award shows to repeat their narrative over and over again. And then they use their ex-president to endorse the resistance, all to make them march, make them protest, make them scream racism and sexism and xenophobia and homophobia, to smash windows, burn cars, shut down interstates and airports, bully and terrorize the law-abiding, until the only option left is for the police to do their jobs and stop the madness. And when that happens, they'll use it as an excuse for their outrage. The only way we stop this, the only way we save our country and our freedom, is to fight this violence of lies with the clenched fist of truth. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
No, you didn't vote. You thought you voted. All you did was mark a piece of paper with what you wanted to vote. But your vote didn't count then.
If you don't know this information, how can you change what's going on?
Jovan Hutton Pulitzer is unnerving the left daily as he tells you exactly what you need to hear.
You've lost family. You've lost friends over all of this because they said you're a conspiracy theorist.
Just go to jovanhuttonpulitzer.locals.com right now to hear the truth.
If you were asked by someone to explain, how did the computers rig votes? How did the numbers change? Most people would never be able to, much less explain it, or even understand it. Your eyes just glaze over.
If you consider yourself to be a true patriot, it would be a crime not to visit JovanHuttonPulitzer.locals.com today.
I guarantee you, you will absolutely be the smartest patriot in the room.
Those in the know like to stay in the realm of innovation. Join them. It's easy to keep up with the latest trends and own the latest tech with BMW Select, as it offers you the option to drive a brand new BMW every 3 years. You also get to tailor your deal to suit your pocket and your lifestyle. Visit select.bmw.co.za for more. BMW Select, dynamic finance for ultimate control. BMW Financial Services is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.
Can you feel it? You're getting more powerful by the minute. Just think of the impact your voice will have simply because you know how to tell the culture, race, and American political prostitutes. They all need to cut the crap. Let's get back to Jovan and his final words for this week's program.
So here's the truth, folks. Just like we forget history, just like we forget that we've been here, done this before, forget that we've had to basically fight for our freedoms the entire time. And this is what the left wants to hide from you by tearing down statues and doing the stuff they do. But at the same time, they signal you that they are absolutely terrified of you. See, the secret they don't want you to know is that you have all the power. Now, I know it doesn't feel like that right now at all. It just doesn't. But let me give you an example. You need to realize that if your voice held no power at all, they wouldn't be trying to silence you. Do you understand that fundamental truth? If the left was not terrified of patriots, they wouldn't be censoring us. If the left wasn't afraid for their future, they would not be censoring us. If the left knows the truth, that the truth will set you free, what they're afraid about is the truth, but more afraid of the truth is those of you that share the truth, they must suppress you. Just the acts of what they do in trying to silence us is the very thing you should be paying attention to, that you should stand rock solid in, that you should know in your heart is divine, that you hold the power. You are the horn that, and that sound goes around the globe and we get together, that we bring down the walls of Jericho. It's just our collective voices. That's it. It's just our combined collective voices. Those guys who are on the left talk in a freaking vacuum. They live in a world where it's only their one view and they talk in a vacuum. That's why they get hurt when new ideas are introduced. But they've worked themselves into positions of power where they can cut off our voices. It's always been like that. To break the back of slavery, back in my history in Jewish, it took the people refusing to be enslaved anymore. To break the back of American slavery, we've been it many times, it's not just black, there were far more Irish enslaved in the Americas as indentured servants, but it took people bringing people into their homes, gathering together, talking about it, and refusing to let it happen. The reason we canceled the typical Gangs of New York, if you've seen the movie, is because we all stood together and said, cut the crap. That's the rallying call. Cut the crap. You know it every time you see a newscaster come on that you know is a fake. Every time you see a politician coming on giving gobbledygook. Cut the crap, cut the crap, cut the crap. And we've got to continue to say, cut the crap, you're screwing up. We are not ruled. We are still free men and women. We only go down if we allow ourselves to go down. We only become mind mush if we allow our minds to turn to mush and if we give up. And I'm really tired of seeing conservatives complain and give up. Benedict Arnold's. Nothing worth having comes easy. Nothing. You can't want it for other people. You have to just want it for yourself. And if you want freedom for yourself and your family, you've got to want it, practice it, mirror it, reflect it. And then you can inspire people to want it, but you can't want it for them. They've got to want it for themselves. And we have to start seeking out and finding those people. We have to stop wasting our time with negative Nellies and bombarding bitchers and moaners and fortify ourselves. Cindy says, sometimes I have weak moments and complain. I'm training my brain to stop that crap. Cindy, you're right. We all have to do that. It's an infection. It's a cancer. The left thrives on the complaint. The left thrives not on being brave, but bitching and moaning. Let me give you an example. Antifa's not being brave, getting in the streets, burning things. They're bitching and moaning. With bitching and moaning comes disaster. With positivity, praise, and bravery comes a movement. Look at Donald J. Trump. Let me give you an interesting insight here. It's ordained how all of this works. I have a book that I've been working on for a while. It's my first novel. Everything else has been business or history. It's my first novel. But I want to tell you something very interesting I learned. In stem cell research, we've always had this barrier with stem cells that the stem cells have a hard time being viable for more than 6 hours. And the problem was, in stem cell research, the stem cells were coming from aborted babies. Then, looking further into stem cell research, I discovered something else. I discovered that if you pull stem cells from the umbilical cord of a born baby when it's birthed, and you save the umbilical cord, two things happen. Number one, those stem cells no longer die within 6 hours. They're indefinitely available. And if you keep that umbilical cord and you bank it, that same umbilical cord, when you reach your senior years or you have incredible health problems and you need help, you can go right back to that umbilical cord, pull stem cells, and heal yourself. What's the lesson in that story? Death begets death, life begets life. It is the way it works. Bitching and moaning destroys. creating, succeeding, sharing, positivity, hope, faith is what makes us succeed. If that didn't send a chill up your spine to know that even as much as we can do in science, they never were able to crack the stem cell because it was dyed and it came from aborted babies, which is murder. You can have your own beliefs, don't care. I do believe in choice. You can have the baby, you can let the baby be adopted. That is choice. But just that one simple message, I believe, from God. Stem cells are a miracle, folks. I've watched them work on athletes and whatever. Old injuries that would never go away, get proper stem cell treatment, bam, you're a new person. But when it comes from aborted fetuses, death begets death. It doesn't work. But when it's the umbilical cord of a live, viable birth, it is magical and transformation. And you yourself can even bank it in the future. If those of you at childbearing age should be banking your children's umbilical cords. If they ever had any problems in life, cancer or otherwise, that is what will heal them, replace those cells. That's the truth of life and God's way. Now, if you look back at this and you look at countries hating on us because we're succeeding, coveting, negativity, like Benedict Arnold, pissed off because he didn't get a promotion. So by God, I'll teach you, I'll destroy it. And that's what we're dealing with. A lot of folks that have bought into the negative message. Oh, you offended me, so I'm going to tear you down. What does a troll do? A troll doesn't troll you because they hate you. They troll you for what you stand for because you make them look at themselves and they hate themselves for thinking the way they do and they can't get out of it. So they try to tear you down to get their power. This is the truth of life, folks. And if your voice held no power, they wouldn't try to silence you. And right now, your voice is not only the secret weapon, it is the magical, divine thing you have been empowered with that can change the world. But you must focus on the good. You must avoid the crap. You must bring people into your life that bring you up, not take you down. And we must stand arm in arm demanding the truth of freedom, transparency, living our life the way we decide to live our life. And none of us may decide to live it the same way, but that's our right. That's our free will. And even God gave us free will. Thank you. Please share this, folks. Love you all. Take care.
Most people are afraid to stand up and speak out, but not you. You've been learning how to tell the system to cut the crap. What can I do to help save the America I love? And the answer is, learn how to fight back and tell the system to cut the crap. Cut the Crap's not just a radio program, it's a movement. The right kind of movement, which breaks free the conservative constipation and reminds you that you are the majority. And we're just not going to take it anymore. Make sure you're following Joe Von Hunt and Pulitzer on all social media. See you next week. And between now and then, take a stand and tell them all to cut the crap.
Open. you've done for you, for me, for our country. You'll go down in history as our warrior.
Football is back. Are you looking for a place to bet the NFL and NCAA? BetDSI is an industry leader in football betting and the perfect sports book for both novice and professional bettors. At BetDSI, you'll enjoy live in-game betting. Bet your favorite teams all game long, including props on nearly every play. BetDSI.com has 10,000 plus betting options daily, including a live casino and daily fantasy. Use your sports knowledge to make some extra cash this week. BetDSI has a user-friendly interface and mobile site, and the fastest payouts in the industry. Simply play, win, and get paid. Bet all major sports, as well as politics, reality TV, esports, virtually everything. New members get 100% bonus match using promo code TEX100. That's more than double your money to start winning today. Once again, go to BetDSI.com and use promo code TEX100 to get this limited time 100% bonus offer to make some extra cash. It's only a game until you bet it at BetDSI. Football is back. Are you looking for a place to bet the NFL and NCAA? BetDSI is an industry leader in football betting and the perfect sports book for both novice and professional bettors. At BetDSI, you'll enjoy live in-game betting. Bet your favorite teams all game long, including props on nearly every play. BetDSI.com has 10,000 plus betting options daily, including a live casino and daily fantasy. Use your sports knowledge to make some extra cash this week. BetDSI has a user-friendly interface device and mobile site, and the fastest payouts in the industry. Simply play, win, and get paid. Bet all major sports, as well as politics, reality TV, esports, virtually everything. New members get 100% bonus match using promo code TEX100. That's more than double your money to start winning today. Once again, go to BetDSI.com and use promo code TEX100 to get this limited-time 100% bonus offer to make some extra cash. It's only a game until you bet it at BetDSI.